Harvey Weinstein once walked into every room in Hollywood as the king of the movie business, but today he'll be in a New York City courtroom facing 5 sex crime charges, including rape. Harvey Weinstein has pleaded not guilty and says any sexual activity was consensual, while prosecutors say he's a serial sexual predator who should get the maximum penalty of life in prison. Lawyer Ari Wilkenfeld has represented female clients in high-profile sexual scandals throughout the Me Too movement. Welcome to RN Breakfast.
Good morning.
What charges? What are the actual charges Harvey Weinstein's actually facing?
He's facing two counts of predatory sexual assault, one count of first-degree criminal sexual assault, one count of first-degree rape, and one count of third-degree rape. And, you know, the difference obviously between them involves the severity of the sexual assault and the amount of premeditation.
Involving how many women?
Involving, at this point, two women, Mimi Haley and as a still unnamed woman in 2013.
Why unnamed?
Here in the States, there are what are called rape shield laws that entitle a rape victim or a sexual assault victim to a certain amount of anonymity so that she can't be publicly shamed for alleging that somebody has assaulted her. And so this particular victim, at least for now, has been able to maintain her anonymity.
You said at the moment, are more allegations likely to arise in the middle of this trial, or is this, that's it?
That the evidence and the testimony that is going to come in is fixed. We know that the two victims are going to testify. We know that four other alleged victims are going to testify. I don't expect new allegations.
New charges to emerge, right? Now let's go to the jury selection. It was a heated process. The defense was trying to get several white men selected. Now, of the 12 jurors, 7 are men, 5 are women. Is the final selection significant to the outcome?
I don't believe so. I do know that the prosecution was unhappy with the defense's apparent efforts to strike as many young white women as possible. But my opinion ultimately is that, you know, the type of juror that the prosecution really should be looking for are jurors who are open to.
Sorry, we seem to have lost Ari Wilkenfeld there. We'll go to a promo and... you're back again. Ari, we lost you there for a moment. I apologize.
I was saying that I would be less concerned with the male-female ratio and more concerned with each individual juror's rigidity or willingness to learn about how victims of assault and rape often behave after the rape and assault, which sometimes can be counterintuitive to people who haven't experienced it themselves.
So impartiality is going to be a challenge in the light of that.
Yes. I mean, it was always going to be a hard problem with this case. But, you know, we've had many high profile cases in this country over the years. And, you know, we find a way to make it through. But yes, obviously there are going to be people with firmly held beliefs going in. I don't believe the judge would have put him on the panel unless he believed that they had the ability to be objective.
The defense wanted to move the trial upstate. Would that have made any? That was rejected. Would that have made any difference at all? Because presumably this is such a ubiquitous story. It didn't really matter where in the nation it would have gone.
I went to college in upstate New York, and I do know that people are a little bit more socially conservative up there, and that might have made a small difference, but I think that was a lot of effort for nothing.
So opening arguments are beginning. How's this likely to play out? What will his legal team claim?
Well, I believe that, I've done many cases where I've seen the defense arguments roll out, and in this particular case, they appear to want to place particular emphasis on how the victims behaved after the alleged rapes and assaults. And in particular, they are planning on using emails that the alleged victims sent to Mr. Weinstein after the alleged rapes and assaults, in which they expressed admiration and affection for him. And they're going to use these emails to sort of demonstrate that they couldn't possibly have been raped because look at the relationships they're maintaining with him.
You were running it on the other side, what would be your riposte?
What I would respond with, and I have had to make assaulted or raped by somebody at work, someone.
Sorry, we might just reconnect with you, Ari. The this line is not very good, and let's
sure on the sort of cleanse the assault and
so can I
and
sorry Ari
some,
we just lost sure. you there for a moment, but it's a terrible line of just breaking up. But could you just go back there and say how you'd run the case against that argument that the follow up emails and relationships seem quite benign afterwards and affectionate?
Yeah, what I would say is that it's well documented. It's a well documented psychological phenomena that that people and women in particular who are assaulted and raped by either people they work with or people in their family or in some other community in which they need to continue to exist, there's tremendous pressure to sanitize what happened to them, to make it not so bad. And to have to maintain a relationship going forward with their assaulter. And so for a short period of time, they will behave normally. And that is counterintuitive to what we would all expect, but it's a very normal thing to happen. And explaining it to a jury can prove difficult.
And obviously the credibility of the accusers, I mean, it will go further than just their follow-up relationship with Weinstein.
Right. And, I'm about to use a term that is very ugly, but the tactics that are used to discredit female accusers of rape and assault is often referred to as the nuts and sluts defense.
Yeah.
Where the
they will attempt to, how can we trust you, et cetera, et cetera.
Right, and also you might be mentally ill or something else like that. And, I think they'll try and do it here, but, in recent years it's becoming less and less successful as people learn more about, how prevalent sexual assault is.
How, there's a case up in California. What's the status of that now? Or charges in California?
I'm not as familiar with the case up in California. It's, it's moving along, and I would expect it to sort of roll out pretty much the same way this one has.
Are there any other cases in New York sitting there waiting to come? And I mean, could this be his only trial in New York, or is there more sitting there in a holding pattern?
There are no others that I'm aware of. I mean, of course, there is the potential for civil trials after this one. So the alleged victims might choose to sue him for monetary damages after this. But I think for right now, this one trial is going to kind of be the staging ground for everything else to come.
And just briefly, is this going to change precedent in these cases? I mean, is this a seminal case that could actually change the way future cases are dealt with?
I don't believe so, actually, at all. I think that the kinds of legal questions that have popped up in this case, can former victim, can other alleged victims testify? Can, emails like the ones I was talking about earlier be used? Who can serve on a jury? These are all cases that pop up. These are all issues that pop up in these kinds of cases ordinarily. And I think the rulings in this case have been fairly consistent with other rulings. And so I think what we're seeing is, a case of this nature played out on a grand stage. But I don't think it's going to change the law.
Ari Wilkenfeld, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Ari Wilkenfeld's partner in the Washington, D.C.-based film firm Wilkenfeld, Herendeen & Atkinson.